Okay, welcome back to the show, 95.9 WATD. So, Teresa, that was a real informational interview on virtual nursing with Ashley at Equa Medical, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I just love hearing the perspectives of other nurse leaders across the country around their thoughts about how we can implement virtual nursing in successful ways and where they think we're going in the industry and in the healthcare world with virtual care.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're kind of taking the bull by the horns here with virtual care. So, just want to add to this great show tonight. Our final guest is Wendy Diebert from Caregility. Connecting care everywhere is their slogan. Wendy is the Senior VP of Clinical Solutions, Consultancy, and Business Development. She is an experienced designer and healthcare disruptor with demonstrated success in hospital, healthcare, and virtual care environments for over 34 years. Skilled entrepreneur, consultant, clinician who builds strong relationships between people, processes, and technology that enable sustainable program builds. Highly skilled in strategy, road mapping, implementation, project management, clinician, patient relations, software user interface, and product development. Hi, Wendy. Thanks for joining our radio show tonight.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Teresa. Thanks for having me.
Oh, hi, Wendy. It's so nice to speak with you today. Can you start us off with your perspective, kind of a high-level overview of what virtual nursing is, how it's being used, and how fast is this new standard of care growing?
Virtual nursing is probably the new key word we're hearing everywhere across the industry. I think with every health system we're talking, based on the nursing shortage, that it is a thing that they are trying to get up and running as quickly as possible. And from a virtual nursing perspective, that can mean anything. It's kind of not well defined yet. Everybody is experimenting in many different avenues. But I think if you go back to the days of tele-ICU, that was kind of the core of how virtual nursing started. But this is definitely now moving from the ICU to the acute floors. And virtual nursing really, it's really augmenting the bedside staff to make sure that they have the right help, that a word that we can take the load off of them. Finding ways that we really can make those bedside caregivers more effective, more productive without physically putting somebody there, because right now there's just not those resources. And this is also a way that we can bring in people that maybe have semi-retired or maybe that have a bad back, bad knee, that we can get them back to the bedside, helping those nurses that need it most. So virtual nursing can do a lot of things. It can do admission assessments, it can do discharge assessments. It could watch a patient for deterioration. It could help with your core measures or sepsis bundles. There's all kinds of ways to use nurses. And it's just amazing how this has exploded. And we're seeing a lot of different workflows happen right now in many of our customers today. And I'm really excited to see where it's going to go in the future.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And thanks for bringing up the tele-ICU, telecritical care side. The listeners probably don't know, Joe may not even know, that Wendy and I go way back, more than a decade. We worked together on implementing telecritical care solutions, and we've both moved into different spaces in our career, but always great to work with Wendy. Real quick, Wendy, what are some of the technical requirements that are needed to support virtual nursing?
I think the things that you have to first consider is, where are those nurses going to be placed? Are they working from home? Are they working from a central hub? I would say anybody that is a frontline caregiver, much like the virtual observers or those that are observing patients for fall risk, to me, they're a direct line caregiver. So they need to be very, very well supported in a more hub environment that's supported with backup and redundancy. But the remote nurses, if you're just doing virtual admission assessments, discharge planning, I believe that could be done from home safely as long as you've got the right internet, you've got the right setup for that. Because they are not the primary caregiver, they're secondary. So if they, have a blip in their internet, it's not as big of a deal as it would be if I lost sight of a patient if I was observing them for fall risk. So those two things can be weighed out. And again, you might want to start internally with everything being inside before you move it out to somebody's home. Just so that you can get your workflows down, your processes down. How are you going to call from the bedside to the from the virtual side to the bedside? Really being able to connect those dots and seeing what tools they need to see if you can really move that into the home environment. But we are seeing many of our customers actually work their virtual nurses from home. But from the virtual sitter side, we're definitely seeing that in the hub experience, just because they need the greater level PC and redundancy there.
So are they using like cell phones or high definition carts? What are the types of technologies that are facing the patient?
Absolutely. So from the actual clinician side, we're seeing both desktop, but there's also mobile apps out there that you can also connect, especially if you're going more into the home environment. But in the inpatient arena, we're seeing mobile carts is one because that can be moved to any patient anywhere. We're also seeing wall and cart unit or wall units, especially in those higher risks where you need the hardwired, always available type of device. And then we're seeing a new lower level of AV kind of solution that's a lot less ability to zoom in and out, but it does give you the ability, cheaper or inexpensive way to bring a device into every room so that you've got the ability to really just camera in and see what's going on. Now, again, you're going to have to stratify the level of video that you need in each room. And again, you could start with a low level video. And we've also seen, I've got another customer that actually has 2,700 iPads out there across 8 hospitals that are leveraging their virtual nursing program from just an iPad. And they've had phenomenal results with that to where they're reducing their admission assessments from an average of the 25 minutes on the floor as those nurses do it, down to about 14 minutes being done virtually. And again, I think that goes to the role of virtual nursing. As you tend to learn things, right? And you do something repeatable over and over and over, you get very efficient at it. You know exactly where to go in the chart. You know exactly to find what things you need to find, and you can document it fast and efficiently. So we're seeing really all levels of AV out there to be that connection and being able to bring people in and out. Most people are leveraging their EMR so that virtual nurse has access to the virtual or their EMR along with the video capability. And it gives them, and again, if you really get to the advanced side, like telecritical care, they're also leveraging those clinical decision support tools to really highlight and let that virtual nurse know if there's somebody that's getting into trouble. So there's really a lot of different levels, but I would say start small. So, start as small as an iPad in a room, figure out your workflows, kind of, settle it in, and then really see what level of camera do you need. But again, there'll be different types of patients that are going to need different things. If you're going to do wound nursing, say from a distance, you're definitely going to need that 20x or 30x zoom camera to be able to zoom in on that wound and see that detail. But if I'm just looking at the room to do education and training, that's where you can get down to the iPad or the lower ended AV solutions.
We're off. I guess, virtual is here and it's successful. Thank you, Wendy. I read, that's why we had you on. And I read in your bio, you were the vice president of telehealth services and played an integral role in building Mercy Virtual, the world's first hospital with no patients, which opened in August 2015, ultimately scaling to 160 plus clinicians caring for patients remotely 24/7. How many patients did this virtual program care for? How are they doing today?
Yes, we started really small actually with our tele-ICU. And I guess it wasn't that small. We started with about 350 beds across 4 states and about 10 ICUs. And we started to manage those. And then we really began to see the value of what virtual care could do. We then launched into a telestroke program that covered 30 hospitals. And then we really got creative and actually created our own internal algorithm for sepsis. And that's where we began to watch all 4,000 patients within our health system every day. And we assigned 4 nurses to those patients, or 4 nurses to those 4,000 patients, each taking 1,000 each. But again, we had a clinical decision support tool that really filtered through, identified who was getting close or getting into SIRS or sepsis, and then we could take it down that path. But they got very good at it. To the point that we dropped our mortality rate by 50% and dropped our cost per case down by $1,800. So again, there's so many ways to go with virtual nursing. There's Mercy Virtual is still up and running today. They've expanded way beyond. When I was there also, they were doing remote home monitoring. We were monitoring CHF patients, COPD, diabetes, and asthma. So doing the remote home monitoring side of it. It's a whole nother level of virtual nursing that really branches out into the home and trying to avoid those bounce backs. Again, taking it even into the post-acute arena, we did an LTAC. So we were able to cover an LTAC. They had a wing of wounds and a wing of ventilators. So we definitely leveraged all the tools from that perspective. But again, It really, as you dabble into or start, everybody starts organically, and you might start in the tele-ICU world, and you might start in the patient ambulatory world. Wherever you start, you end up seeing the value of what virtual care does, and that is bringing the patients and the physicians or clinicians together. And that's what's really important, because especially with COVID, we all learned how much we needed these programs and how much it made a difference in the lives of everyone, even with those patients in the hospital, being able to connect them back to their family, even if it was via video, it was a level of support that they couldn't get in the worst of times. So virtual, I think we all could brainstorm and come up with 1,000 ways that virtual nursing could be done. And it's fun to see this whole arena exploding and what each and every organization is trying to do, because I'm seeing a lot of fun stuff out there that's really going to make a difference for the patients.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Wendy. I am so excited to just watch how we grow and develop and start to implement more virtual tools into how we care for patients. It's an exciting time.
And I, Teresa, it takes me back to the days that we went to ACCN and or AACN and trying to define what a virtual nurse was and what was the standards around that. We're also seeing that explode now in the virtual acute side. So it's something that does need to be defined. We don't really have a lot of standards, but that also gives us a time right now for innovation and creativity.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can go to the AACN website, American Association of Critical Care Nurses, is what Wendy was referring to. And they do have a consensus statement on telecritical care and teleacute care nursing. So you can go to there. That's a great reference. It's a starting tool, but we need to build on it even more.
Yes, agreed.
Well, great work, Wendy. Great work, Dr. Rincon. Here we are 8 years later, and the virtual world has taken off, and we hope this helps expand the access to health care and all those problems that we deal with on a daily basis, and people get healthier. So thank you for your time tonight, Wendy Diebert with Caregility, Ashley Von
Thank you so
Nita
much.
with Equa Medical, and our very own Blue Ceres consultant, Dr. Rincon. We hope you enjoy the rest of the week and look forward to following up with us again later this year. You can find these recordings on our website, blue-cirrus.com, blue like the color, -cirrus, CIRRUS.com, and find these recordings on our Knowledge Tsunami page. It was great having you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Blue Cirrus Telehealth Radio Show on 95.9 FM WATD. Have a great night.